Eliyahu. We already began the chapter, but we're going to take a second and a much closer look at chapter 9 in Daniel. Let's read.
בשנת אחת לדור יובש בן אחשוורוש מזרע מודאי אשר המלך על מלכות כזדן.
In the first year of Dor Yovesh, the son of Ahasuerus, from the seed of Madai, who became king over the kingdom of the Kazdim. This Ahasuerus has absolutely nothing to do with the Ahasuerus of Megillat Esther. The Ahasuerus of Megillat Esther comes much, much later. It's going to be about 20 years down the line. Ahasuerus was a name that was used in amongst the Persians and the Medes. Now, this pasuk is very, very precise. First year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, Mizera Madai, from the seed of Madai. One of the things that I had been pointing out to you as we went through Sefer Daniel is whenever they refer to the conquest of Babylon, they refer to Madai and Paras. In Megillat Esther, we are going to hear constantly about Paras u Madai, because there was a coalition. There was an alliance between Madai and Paras, the first king who ruled at the conquest of Babylon. The Kazdim was the king of Madai, Daryavesh. This Daryavesh ben Ahasuerus really survived for a year, maybe a year and a half, and he died, and it was Koresh, his son-in-law, who became king of the empire. Koresh was a Persian, was from Paras. In other words, I imagine the alliance was one that was cemented by marriage as well. The king of Madai had a son-in-law of Persia, from Persia, so the kingdom of Madai ruled first. It was Daryavesh. He conquered Belshazzar. We studied the chapter about the handwriting on the wall, and there it says, Bei Belalia, the end of that chapter was that night. That night Belshazzar was killed. The Babylonian Empire came crashing down. It crumbled. It collapsed like a deck of cards. Is that correct? No, because I think yesterday I said it crumbled in the sheer. I described something as crumbling like a deck of cards. My wife told me nothing crumbles like a, huh?
A cookie crumbles.
But a deck of cards collapses. In one night, Babylon is crushed. Babylon is crushed. And who becomes king? Daryavesh, the son of Ahasuerus. Not the Ahasuerus of Megillat Esther. After this Daryavesh, there is going to be Koresh. Koresh, of course, is going to be the one who will make the great announcement. Whoever wants to go on Aliyah may go on Aliyah. But now we are at Daryavesh. The Babylonian Empire has come to an end. Yes? Who misinformed? Did I misinform? Oh. Who misinformed? Second Darius. Second Ahasuerus, second Darius. Same name. The same name keeps repeating itself again. This is the Darius the First. He is the son of an earlier Ahasuerus.
He's not the one who said that building the temple.
No, that's Koresh. He is king for 1 year, a bit more than a year, and he dies. And his son-in-law, Koresh, the Persian, takes over. Koresh is the one who makes the announcement that anyone who wants to go on Aliyah may go on Aliyah.
Yes, that
is
nothing, but what about building the temple?
Oh, so that was Koresh. Koresh who gave permission to build the temple, and they laid the foundations, and then there were those who wrote the hate letters. From Samaria, they sent hate letters to Koresh, and Koresh sent a second edict stopping the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. And that's not going to be taken up again until after Ahasuerus of the Megillah. Achashverosh of the Megillah is still the one who does not want to let Esther build the Bet HaMikdash. Ma sheilateich ad chatzi hamalchut. He's ready to give her ad dover until that which divides my kingdom, which is the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. Now he meant the division of the kingdom because there was a tremendous amount of opposition to the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. But then, following the death of Achashverosh, Daryavesh, who is the son of Esther and Achashverosh, gives permission to complete the construction of the Bet HaMikdash. Nehemiah goes and builds the city. What's going to happen in this chapter is, what we're talking about is something of tremendous historic significance. The Babylonian Empire that has ruled in the world for 70 years, a mighty kingdom, has come collapsing down into absolute nothingness. We're talking about a major event. We can, if we would be fully tuned into what has happened in our own times, the collapse of the communist empire. And I don't think that 70 years, that's 70 years. I don't think that we fully appreciate, very often, you don't fully appreciate events that take place in your own day. I don't think we have fully internalized yet what an awesome event the collapse of the communist empire was. We're talking about an empire that, not enough, the number of people that were put to death by that empire. The fact that the communist empire most probably held more than half a world in its hand. The fear of the Russian Empire, the USSR, worldwide, American policy, from the middle of the Second World War, or even before, at the same time that Stalin is an ally to the United States, Roosevelt and Churchill are planning of ways how they're going to contain the spread of communism throughout the world. We're talking about a communism that really, really had taken over a whole world. And then all of a sudden, in a matter of a few months, it comes crumbling down. The changes that have taken place in the world are so awesome as a result of that collapse. And here, we're talking about an empire, most probably, that may have been, comparatively speaking, mightier. Daniel watches before his very eyes the collapse of an empire that he was so close to. He was one of the leading figures in the Babylonian Empire. And he sees it crushing, being crushed, destroyed. This is the first year they've just fallen. Babylon has just fallen. So how do Jews take a look at cataclysmic events in history? It's got to have something to do with us, especially since we were victims of the empire that has just fallen. And yes, the significance of 70 years, because Yirmiyahu will see right away, Yirmiyahu had prophesied twice that 70 years will pass for the destruction of Jerusalem, and then begins the new era. So now, here it is, this great event, and the number 70 is in the air as well, because the Babylonian Empire, from the rise of Nebuchadnezzar until the fall of Belshazzar, was 70 years. So now there's a sense of a feeling that great things are happening in the world, and it's going to affect the Jewish people. And Daniel begins to study these events, and he wants to know. He wants to know, well, when are things going to move? Because at this particular point in time, though these great events have happened all around him, Jewish history hasn't changed much. So therefore, in this first year, Bishnat Achat L'Malcho, in the first year of his reign, Ani Daniel, I Daniel, Binoti Vasvarim, I studied the books, I went back to the holy books. By the way, they have an Ezra, and many of them of course say that the word Vasvarim over here means the numbers. I studied the numbers, the Misparim. I kept going over the numbers to figure out Mispar Hashanim. In the next word, you already see the number of years. Asher Hayad Var Hashem El Yirmiyahu. The word of God had been to Yirmiyahu Hanavi. God had said to Yirmiyahu L'malot L'chorvot Yerushalayim Shivushana, that when 70 years from the destruction of Jerusalem would be full, great things are going to happen to the Jewish people. The return to Eretz Yisrael is going to begin. The big question that he has is, when did the 70 years begin? So therefore, if you know when the 70 years begin, then you know when the 70 years end. And there are at least three, possibly four, options as to when to begin to count the 70 years. Do the 70 years begin with the rise of Nebuchadnezzar? First year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, 70 years have just ended. From the reign of Nebuchadnezzar through the reign of Evil Merodach to the reign of Belshazzar, 70 years have passed. Could it be from the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar? Because it's first in the second year of his reign that he makes his first attempt at conquering Eretz Yisrael. He's going to come back a number of times to Eretz Yisrael. In the 11th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to take Yechoniah, king of Yehuda, off into exile. The first group of exiles will go off in the 11th year of the reign of Yechoniah. Who are the kings that we are dealing with in Yehuda at the time? Remember, we're not talking about Yisrael anymore, because Yisrael had already been sent off, the 10 tribes had been sent off into exile by Sanherib, king of Assyria. The Assyrian Empire is the one that preceded the Babylonian Empire. The Assyrian Empire exiled the 10 tribes off into the Horei Choshech of Afghanistan, Pakistan, we don't even know where they went. Now we're dealing only with Yehuda. The first group of exiles are with Yechoniah, king of Yehuda. Who was a member of that exile? Of course, Mordechai is Yehudi. There was a Jew in Shushan Habiro. His name was Mordechai ben Yoel ben Shimi ben Asher Hegla im Hagola. Asher Hegla Nebuchadnezzar, something or other. Yeah, Yechoniah Melech Yehuda. Yeah, Melech Yehuda. It's Yechoniah, king of Yehuda, who by the way reigns for no more than 3 months, and in comes Nebuchadnezzar and takes him off into exile. There is a Gemara, by the way, that says that Mordechai was not one of the exiles who was coerced, but Mordechai Heglo Me'atzmo. Mordechai volunteered to go off into exile. Volunteered to go off into exile. I mean, there's a great deal to be said about that, but there's no doubt that Mordechai felt that he has a mission to perform in Babel. What Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand, how could he? The Jews didn't realize it at the time. That first exile of Yechoniah, king of Yehuda, was the exile of the elite. Members of the Sanhedrin, Talmidei Chachamim, Nebuchadnezzar's purpose was a brain drain. He wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael bereft of the upper echelons of leadership. So he took all of the most important people off into exile. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah went off then, Daniel went off then, but they were young, they were children. It was Masami, their parents, who were the Gedolei Yisrael. The Sanhedrin was taken off. What are called in Tanakh the Chorosh and the Mazger. The Chorosh and the Mazger are the elite, the Torah elite, the leadership elite. So Nebuchadnezzar, of course, thinks that he is going to be weakening Eretz Yisrael, which he, of course, does, but what he doesn't realize, of course, is that the Golos of Yechoniah, which came 11 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, gave them enough time to already establish the foundations of a Jewish community. Jews are going to be living in Babel for 1,500 years. What are you going to do when hundreds of thousands of millions of exiles are going to be brought? There are no yeshivot, there are no community organizations, nobody to take care of them. Who's going to, the Hayas, what? Who's the Hayas? Oh, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Association. Who's going to take care of them all? What Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand is
by the early wave of exiles that he took to Babel, he was laying the groundwork for a thriving Babylonian Jewish community, as long as it was going to last.
Well, yeah. This reminds me, even in the book I mentioned, intentionally didn't do it as you're saying, it reminds me very much of the way we understand Yaakov and Esau when Yaakov divides up the camp. And we start to talk about the fact that there's this strategy to deal with anti-Semitism, to separate and put people to the side.
Separate and
the person who's carrying it out here, so to speak, is not one of us.
Yes,
but they
don't know that they are really performing a service for Klal Yisrael, just as in another instance we have the idea that Yaakov sends Yehuda off to Mitzrayim before Jews come down to Egypt. So that Yehuda is there already laying the foundations for a Jewish community. Sarah?
Did you want to...
Very good. God sends the refuah, that which is to heal, is always there before the Makkah comes. Very good. I placed my face, meaning I concentrated before God, my God, levakesh, tefillah, v'tachanunim, v'tzom, v'sak, for efer. He's going to pray. I'm going to seek with prayer. I said it at the end of the shiur yesterday. We explained the word levakesh. In the Megillah it says that when Esther was asked by Ahasuerus, what is it that you want at the first party? Vatane Esther Vatoma. Esther answered and said, She'elati u'bakashati. I have a she'ela and a bakasha. A she'ela is something you ask for, and a bakasha, I explained, is something that you seek and you're going to stop at nothing until you achieve it. Bakesh, we quoted a number of psukim, Bakesh, Shalom, Viratfehu. You don't simply ask for peace, you seek it out and you pursue it. When Yosef is on his way to Shechem to see his brothers and he doesn't find them, a man meets him out in the field and asks him, who are you looking for? Et achai anochi mivakesh. Ach asher alti mi'et Hashem ota avakesh. Levakesh tefillah means that this is going to be a prayer in which he is going to put all of his effort and energy into seeking out what it is that he wants. Tachanunim, he is going to besiege God. Betzom, the sack for Ether, three words, of course, that appear in the Megillah as well, with fasting, sackcloth, and ash. Va'et palalol Hashem Elokai, va'et vadan, I prayed before God, my God, and I confessed before him. All prayer requires tshuva and vidui. Va'omran, I said, Ono Hashem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hanora, O God. Ono, some of the Mepharshim here say that the word Ono is really a contraction of two words, Oy, Oyvei. Oyvei, yeah, I saw in Toronto, you understand, I saw a license plate, O-Y-V-A-Y, you understand? In Thornhill, right? Okay. What did it say about the person? That's for the psychologists over here to figure out. Oyvei, what it says about the person. Ono is a contraction of Oy and No. In other words, a Yiddish krechts, and from the krechts comes the request, Rabbeinu Shlomo, please. Hakel Hagadol V'Hanora, we've already talked a number of times about that, the fact that he does not describe God as Gibor, because he doesn't see the might of God when Jews are in Golus and they are subdued by the other nations. He therefore refers to God as Hagadol V'Hanora, Shomer HaBrit V'Hachesed, the one who keeps the covenant. You can be sure that God is going to keep his promise. The Hachesed and his kindness, the Ohavavu, the Shomrei Mitzotav, to those who love him, those who keep his mitzvahs. So first of all, he says, Chotanu va'avinu v'hirshanu u'maradnu, we have sinned, we have... Chet is always v'shogeg, unintentionally. Avinu already is
intentional hirshanu. We have been evil umaradnu, and we've even done things just in order to show our rebellion against God. V'sor mi mitzvotecha umi mishpatecha, we've turned away from your commandments and your statutes. V'lo shamanu al avodecha hanevi'im, we didn't listen to your servants, the prophets. Asher dibru b'shimchum, spoke in your name. El melochenu, the nevi'im spoke to all of us, to our kings, to our officers, v'avoteinu, and to our fathers. They'll call am haaretz, they spoke to all of the people of the land. Now here we're going to come across a number of psukim that appear in davening. L'cho Hashem atzdaka, God, all righteousness is yours. What he's really doing over here is exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu does in Parashat Ha'azinu, and what is required nebuch when tragedy befalls. The first thing that a Jew is supposed to do is siduk hadin, where we justify God's justice. We say, Rabbeinu Shem, you're right. In Ha'azinu, what does he say? Kael emuna ve'ein avel. God is a God who is trustworthy, does nothing wrong. Tzadik the Yashar, who he is righteous and correct. Of course, there's Ba'alavaya, this is the Tzivuk HaDin that has to be said. It's also expressed in the Bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Dayan HaEmet, the true judge. So the first thing he says is, L'cho Hashem HaTzedakah. The word Tzedakah over here should not be confused with the way we use the word Tzedakah, charity. Tzedakah over here is, you are right, you are just. The lanu boshet haponim, and to us is the shame of our faces. Kayom hazeh, you know, to this very day, we are a people who are full of shame and embarrassment. The very fact that we are in exile and subdued is the greatest shame of all. And this shame applies to Ish Yehuda uli Yoshvei Yerushalayim, the people of Yehuda, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim, ulechol Yisrael, and to all of Israel, hakerovim v'harechokim, those who are near and those who are far. Ish Yehuda, what he's really referring to over here is there were stages in the exile of the Jewish people. Ish Yehuda means those who were taken into exile in the days of Yechaniah, the important people of Yehuda. Then came the destruction of Yerushalayim, and the people of Yerushalayim were taken into exile. And then following that, Kol Yisrael, the rest of Israel, all were taken. Those who are near and those who are far, Bechol Ha'aratzos Asher Hidachtom Shom, in all of the lands where you had sent them off, B'Ma'alom Hashem Molobach, because of the sin that they sinned against you. Hashem, God, Lanu Boshet Haponim, he repeats it again, we are the shame of the face is ours. L'melochenu, l'sareinu, l'avoteinu, our kings, our officers, and our fathers, asher chatanu lach, we sin to you. L'Hashem Elokeinu, to God our God, harachamim, in mercy, v'haslichot, and forgiveness, ki maradnu bo, because we have rebelled against him. V'lo shamanu v'kol Hashem Elokeinu, we didn't listen to the voice of God our God, alechet b'torotav, to go according to his laws, asher natan lefaneinu, that he gave before us, b'yad, Avadav Hanaviim, through the hands of his servants, the prophets. The Chol Yisrael avru et Toratecha. The Chol Yisrael avru et Toratecha. Obviously, this is something, of course, that has to be understood. I mean, really, is it really Chol Yisrael? We've talked about this often in our shiurim over the last 5-6 years. The Chol Yisrael avru et Toratecha means, well, there are those who, by commission, did indeed do that which was wrong. And then the others who remain silent become, if one doesn't object, if one doesn't stand up and fight evil, one is also considered an evildoer. The Chol Yisrael, all of Israel, avru Torah, have transgressed your Torah, the sor, and turned away, levilti shemar v'kolecha, not to listen to your voice, but titach oleinu, and there rained down upon us ha'ola v'ashvua, the curse and the oath. What he is referring to, of course, is the Tochacha in Parashat Bechukotai and the Tochacha in Parashat Ki Tavo. Both of these have come down upon us as written in the Torah of Moshe, the servant of God, Ki Chatanu Lo, because we sinned before him. Vayokem et devaro, he fulfilled his word. Asher divor de diber aleinu, that he spoke about us, va'al shofteinu, and about our judges, asher shifatonu, who judged us, lahavi aleinu, he said it, that he would bring upon us ra'a gedola, terrible evil. Ashalo nesta tachat kol Hashemayim, things that were not done beneath the entire heavens. Kasher nesta b'Yerushalayim, as were done in Yerushalayim. The destruction of Yerushalayim was a criminal act that was carried out with great cruelty. Kasher katud v'torat Moshe, as it is written in the Torah of Moshe, et kol haro azod ba'ar leinu, all of this came upon us. V'lo chilinu, we did not pray before the face of Hashem Elokeinu, God our God, l'shuv me'avoneinu, to do tshuva from our sins, u'lahaskil ba'amitecha, and to let intellectually be able to see the truth of God and everything that He said. V'yishkor Hashem al ra, and God hastened to bring the evil upon us. V'yivi'eho aleinu, that happens to be a pasuk at the beginning of Yirmiyahu. God says to Yirmiyahu, Ma atar ro'eh, what do you see? And he says, Makel shaked ani ro'eh, I see the branch of an almond, of an
almond.
That's right, almond. But she's a Canadian. She's a Canadian. You gave it away, almond. An almond tree. And God says, Hey taftolid ot, you have seen well. Ki shokeid ani al hara'ah, I am hastening the evil. Vayivieha aleinu, Pasuk goes on to say, and I brought the evil upon you. Ki tzadik Hashem elokeinu, God our God is righteous. Al kol ma'asav asher osa, everything that He did, v'lo shamanu b'kolo, because we didn't listen to His voice. V'ata now, Hashem elokeinu, God our God, Hashem hutzei totam from Eretz Mitzrayim, that took your people out of the land of Egypt. V'yad chazaka, with a strong hand. You've made for yourself a great name up until this day. Chatanu, we sinned. That's unintentional. Roshanu, we were evil, intentional. Hashem, gechol tzitkosecha, with all of your righteousness, yoshavna atcha v'chamotcha, let your anger and your wrath be removed. This we say in davening on Mondays and Thursdays. Remove your anger and your wrath, me'ircha Yerushalayim, from your city Yerushalayim, har kodshecha, your holy mountain, ki b'chata'enu, because of our sins, u'ba'avonot avotenu, and the intentional sins of our fathers, Yerushalayim, v'amcha l'cherpa l'chol su'atenu, Yerushalayim and your people are a source of shame to all around her. V'atma now, shma'u l'kenu tfilat avdecha. Now he comes to his tefillah. What is the... Listen, O God, to this prayer of your servant Bel Tachnunav and to his imploring. V'ho'er panecha, let your face shine al migdashcha hashamem, on your holy place that is desolate, l'man Hashem. So you see, in the first instance, what he's asking is, we may not be worthy, but do it for your name's sake. Because when Israel is enslaved, it is the greatest chilul Hashem of all. It's a desecration of God's name. As we say in Hallel, Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu, ki im le shimcha tein kavod. We may not be worthy, but your name is being desecrated, and therefore do it for your name's sake. Hatei elokai oznecha, God, incline your ear, ushama, and listen. Tekach einecha, open your eyes, who the eish shamum atenu, and see our desolation. V'ha'ir Hashem nikro shimcha le, and the city that your name is called upon it. Ki lo al tzidkotenu, anachnu mapilin tachanu neinu lufanecha. This we say on Mondays and Thursdays, we say it during the Yom Nochayim. It's not because our righteousness and our goodness that we have our imploring before you. Ki al rachamecha harabim, we throw ourselves upon your great mercy. We are unworthy. In other words, in the first instance, he says, do it for your name's sake. In the second, he says that we throw ourselves upon the mercy of God because we are unworthy. Hashem Shema'a, God listen. Hashem Slocha, God forgive. Hashem Hakshiva, God listen. Vasei, do it. Al ta'acha, don't tarry. Leman cholakai, for your sake, God, kishimcha nikra alich v'alamecha. Your name is called on your city and on your people. It's the city of God. It's the people of God. Whatever happens to Yerushalayim and whatever happens to the Jewish people is a reflection on you. This is his prayer. V'od ani medaber u'mitpalel. But remember, what did he say at the very beginning? He explains why he is moved to this special prayer. Because he's looking at the numbers and he can't figure out
when is the exile over? All he knows is that a cataclysmic event has taken place before his very eyes. A mighty empire has been brought to its feet. He doesn't even, can't even imagine that every remnant of Babel is going to disappear. Any sign of Babel is going to disappear from the face of the earth. This mighty people who spread fear and terror and death and destruction throughout a whole world, finished. But he realizes that great things have happened here. And there's no question about it that Yirmiyahu had to be referring in some way to this, because in one of the psukim in Yirmiyahu, he talks about the completion of 70 years for Babel. And 70 years of Babel are over. Now wait a minute. You remember I said it's 70 years from the first year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Now do we begin to count from the beginning of his reign? I also said that in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he made his first invasion of Eretz Israel. Could be it refers not to the rise of the Babylonian Empire of Nebuchadnezzar, but 70 years of Babel means from the time that Babel first entered Eretz Israel. By the way, that's going to be one of the way stations in the process of the return to Tzion. Because the next year, the Doryovesh ben Achashverosh of this chapter is going to die, and Koresh is going to become king, and he's going to, the permission will be granted to Jews to return. That means it's not 70 years from the rise of Nebuchadnezzar, but it's 70 years from Nebuchadnezzar's first invasion of Eretz Yisrael. But Daniel doesn't know this yet. He doesn't know that there are going to be other way stations along the way. There will be 70 years from the Golos of Yechoniah. There will be 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim itself. And different things are going to happen at each one of these different way stations of 70 years. All right. While I'm still talking and praying, and I am confessing my sins, the chatat ani Israel, and the sins of my people Israel. Terribly important what he said over here. Daniel is not pointing the finger at anybody. He's not the one who finds the sins of other Jews. You know, I've told you often, I never look for trouble. I never look for fights, right? I never look to get into but what can I do if I'm sitting at a simcha in Toronto and somebody tells me that, you're losing pieces of Eretz Yisrael. Right. So already my antenna are up, and I didn't say anything. I mean, I was able to control myself for a few minutes. You're losing, you understand? Not he's losing. I mean, he's sitting over there in Toronto, the Schmalzkrieg of Toronto. He's not losing, but you're losing. And he figured it out. Most probably people are not putting on tefillin b'kavana. Not putting on. But the last thing I would have thought of. I think God is so thrilled with any Jew who puts on pair of tefillin, he couldn't care less whether he does it b'kavana. So I see already the direction in which this guy is going. He knows precisely what the sins of Jews in Eretz Yisrael are, and that's why, you and your people, you're losing shtick of Eretz Yisrael. So of course, I couldn't help it. I couldn't control myself anymore. And I've used it twice. This is my line that I use now when anybody starts up with me. Thank God they start up with me often, so that I have... it was a separate seating. Yeah, she was with the... No, she knows. Oh, she can do the same thing. If anybody starts off on the women's side, so I told him I look at things a little bit differently. And I told him, listen, you know what my line now, and I tell it to my friends if they go to Chutzlaritz, Chatzi Haaretz L'Chatzi Ha'am. The Rebbein Shem has decided he gives half of Eretz Yisrael to half the people. As long as only half of Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, then you get half the land. When the rest of them, when you people come from Toronto, so we'll get another few meters. And then when the people from the United States will come, they shall give us another few hundred kilometers. Chatzi haaretz or chatzi ha'am. What the Rebbeinu originally planned was, though half the people were here, he decided in the Six-Day War to give us all of Eretz Yisrael in anticipation, in the hope the refuah should be there before the Makkah, that Eretz Yisrael should be ready for the masses that are going to come. But they didn't come. They didn't come. You didn't come. So the Rebbeinu was taking it away. Not from us. It's your land. It's your land that he's taking away. It might very well be. It might very well be so. Maybe if Jews would have come en masse after the Balfour Declaration. By the way, this is not politics. You're going to see right away that what I'm saying is Torah. How do you like that? I'm going to show you right away. Yeah, could be if Jews would have come en masse then, the whole picture of the last 70 years would have been a different picture completely. How many more Jews would have been saved if they would have been in Eretz Yisrael and not have been in Europe? You're absolutely right.
And if there were enough Jews here, then Hitler would not have signed away Jordan.
Britain, England couldn't have done it. What are you talking about? A lot of things would have been different if we would have responded to the historic call. So in other words, so first of all, this guy, he's ready to faint. Understand? Because I turned it around at him. Don't tell me about my tefillin. You people didn't come, so the Rebbeinu took away your share. My share, I have my apartment in Harnow. Where you go? Thank God I bought it 10 years ago. I could never afford to buy it today. What are you talking about? Now, why do I say that this is Torah? I gave you three sheets. Look at the sheet with the least on it. It's the Malbim's introduction. First pasuk in Sefer Haggai. Bishnat Shtayim, you see on the left, on the right hand side, Bishnat Shtayim L'Daryavesh. The second year of Daryavesh. That's this Daryavesh. He's going to go into a second year, but he's not going to make it to a third year. He's going to die during this year, and Koresh is going to take over. Says the Malbim the following. Kvar bi'er ha'resh yud aleph is Harav Yitzchak Abarbanel. The Malbim quotes the Abarbanel. Oh, there was once an accounting that I took, nearly in every perek in Tanakh, he quotes the Abarbanel. Even though there are times at which he disagrees violently with the Abarbanel, but he saw him as the great Mefarash HaTanakh. By the way, the Abarbanel was, as we know, he was the secretary of the Exchequer. He was the secretary of the treasury of Ferdinand and Isabella. He was given permission, granted permission to remain in Spain, but he chose to follow his brothers out into exile. And what's fascinating, there are times when you read, he quotes from the Mefarsh HaTanach Ramban, and it's all from memory because he wrote most of his perush as he was fleeing from one place to the next. It's awesome. Awesome, unbelievable that he knew Kalatara Kula. And the Malbim quotes him profusely. Say here. So Kvar Bier Harav Yitzchak Abarbanel Vonochi Hirbeiti Bazer Avanochi Chazon Hirbeiti Bazer Vekama Mekomot. The Abarbanel is saying, the Malbim is saying about himself that this vision, I have spoken about in many places. And I'm taking one of them in which he makes it clearer than others. He says it in this chapter in Daniel. He says it a number of places in Yeshayahu. A number of places he spoke about this. Ki me'eit ha'galut harishon l'sancherev, to the top of the next column, from the time of the first exile of Sancherev, king of Ashur, hitchil zman ha'geula ha'atida. Do you hear what he's saying? From the very first moment that Jews were taken off into exile, from that moment on begins the possibility of redemption. Yeah, Rabbi Akiva, there are a number of stations in history, but he says the following, that from the moment that exile begins, then is the possibility for future redemption.
From the time of the first exile, when the 10 tribes were taken off into captivity, from that time on and further, the prophets began to talk about redemption. It all depends on whether they will be worthy. Would they have been redeemed immediately in the days of Chizkiyahu or in the days of Yoshiyahu? That would have been the geula, the ultimate redemption. Because they were not worthy, they did not merit it. They were exiled to Bavel b'ma'alam because of their sin. These four words, by the way, are going to be a pasuk in this chapter in Daniel. Lechalei pesha, so that their rebelliousness should end, ulahatein chatas, and their sins should be completed. They went off into exile. The kasher ra'ah Hashem, when God saw she'im hayu nisharim begalut Babel, if they would have remained in the Babylonian exile, hayu nitma'im bein ha'akum, they would have become assimilated amongst the nations, v'hayu yotzim miklal hadat, and they would have stepped out of the Jewish religion, because he saw that the Babel experience had become here I'm afraid to say it anymore, in this country you can no longer refer to intermarriage and assimilation as a spiritual holocaust. If you say spiritual holocaust about it, so therefore you are accusing conservative and reform rabbis of being Nazis and capos. You can't say that anymore, so I have to watch my language. But the fact is that the Rebbeinu takes a look and he sees that there is the frightening potential of a spiritual holocaust in Bavel. The holy seed of Klal Yisrael had already assimilated and intermarried with the people of the land. We learned about that in Ezra and Nehemiah last year. The shachachul shanam v'toratam, they had forgotten their language and their Torah. And that we, some months ago, we read the Rambam, where the Rambam said, why did the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, why did the men of the Great Assembly have to compose a Shemona Esrei? Because Jews couldn't speak a proper sentence in Hebrew anymore without mixing in all sorts of other languages, like Mamish, Peshit, Dafka, Ihol, you know, one of those kind of frum speak Yiddish sentences, that, and they couldn't speak a proper... See, you learn something from the Rambam. From the Rambam you learn that when you're speaking English, you speak English. When you're speaking Hebrew, you speak Hebrew. And when you're speaking Yiddish, you speak Yiddish. The mixture of languages is not something desirable. Unless, of course, it's for emphasis. I'm preparing a drasha for Shabbos. It's one of those unique weeks that I have my drasha already on Wednesday. I usually never have it until the early hours of Shabbos in the morning. So those of you who heard my story about my flat tire, on which I based a shop in Megillah, so you didn't hear about that. You know what I took from the car yesterday? I never looked at it, never once. But I have an instruction booklet in Hebrew. I don't want to get up in shul and talk about Karali Pancha. I had a Pancha. The Yitik Sadiq, the Lakahat et Hajak, and Lahachmit et Hataya. I don't want to do that. I'm going to be using words that they're not going to know what I'm talking about. When I start talking about Hotseti et Hamagbei, Meita Hamit'an, they won't know what I'm talking about. The Magbei is the jack. How do you like that? The Bava, very good. They won't know either. Of course the Israelis won't know. According to the Rambam, the proper use of a language is when you are able to express yourself fully in one language. In the event that you have to resort to other languages in order to express yourself, that means you don't fully have a grasp of the language that you're speaking. Hebrew should be able to cover all eventualities, should be able to cover all of the needs of communication and speech. It's only when people simply don't know the language well that they have to resort to all sorts of other languages in order to fill that with the void in their language. I imagine that's what the... I mean, language is a science.
And especially when you're talking about Lashon Kodesh, you see, take a, for example, there's a big difference between Lashon Kodesh and English. English is in fact made up of a mixture of so many, many languages. The roots of English go back into Latin, Greek, French, German. There's so many. It's already a collection of all sorts of languages. But Lashon Kodesh is a language that is unique and original in and of itself. The beauty of Hebrew is when you either have or you can create a uniquely Hebrew word to describe a particular situation or a feeling or a thought. So a teker is a fine word. Comes from the word takrit, something that was kara, something that happened, but not a pancha. Yes.
But then the Buddha presented a lot of words to the modern mind, a lot of things that were coming to
the you're right. The final arbiter, of course, are people, but not in everything. In other words, if people are going to use a slang, because the slang is easier for them, let's say, I don't think there has to be a Hebrew word for a dross. But they call it exozim, I don't know, an exhaust. In certain areas, there aren't words for it. But where there are words for it, you'll see. You'll see how many fellows have an understanding in Shul and Shabbos when I describe chanting a tire in clear Hebrew runs there. Now, the point of it is that in Babel, Jews were no longer able to speak a sentence in Hebrew. Therefore, that's what he says. V'shachachu l'shonam, they forgot their language and their Torah. L'chein pogdom p'kido ma'at. By the way, the words of the mountain here are going to be proof to something that we discussed early in the year. I told you in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Chassadic of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it was a whole shiur where he said that the return to Babel, when Jews returned to Babel, they understood, or certainly Gedolei Yisrael understood, that it was going to be of a temporary nature. Now and therefore he says that there were all sorts of remnants of Babel that they brought with them to Eretz Yisrael. The names of the months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, came with them from Babel. So Rabbi Yaakov says, because they knew that this was not going to last, this was not going to be the ultimate Geula, the ultimate redemption. But watch how the Malbin is going to qualify this. He says, because God saw that Jews were going to be lost in Babel if they aren't given a shot in the arm. The shot in the arm is that part of Klal Yisrael will return to Eretz Yisrael. And what's going to happen in Eretz Yisrael is that Torah Shebaal Peh is going to grow and develop. Lachen, therefore, kordom pekidom ad, God remembered them a little bit, ayyadei korosh. Pekidah, they were remembered. Va'olu imahim anshei knesset hagadola, the men of the great assembly went on aliyah. V'shavu es ha-Torah, des ha-Torah liyoshno, they were brought back Torah and the crown to its original glory. And by the way, when he says that the anshei knesset hagadola went back to Eretz Yisrael, that ultimately is going to include Mordechai. I hold that Mordechai's name is mentioned a number of times in Ezra and Nehemiah. Some places it's not the same Mordechai, but I hold that our Mordechai went on Aliyah after the Purim story. Even though at the time the Jews are returning to Eretz Yisrael, it's not the time of the future redemption. Because take a look. He says one of the proofs that they know that this is not the ultimate redemption is because Daniel, who we've learned already in two chapters, and we're going to have another few chapters about it, he sees that there are going to be four kingdoms that are going to rule over the Jewish people. When Babel ends, comes Paras u'Madai. Daniel already knows about Yavan. In the last chapter, he was told that Greece is going to rule. And following that is going to come the frightening fourth animal, which is going to be the kingdom of the Roman Empire or Christianity. So he knows that Jews are still going to be enslaved. He knows, therefore, that the ultimate Geula has not come, so why do they come back to Eretz Yisrael now? They return to Eretz Yisrael now because they need a shot in the arm that's going to come through Eretz Yisrael. The Chen Ro Kamanavim. Many of the prophets saw this Bahudiulo the Chazon, and they let him know through a vision to the right hand side. Kizman Kates Haklaot Rachok Miod, we're going to see that the time for the miraculous end is far off in history. Now listen to what the Malbim says. Because that despite all of this, despite everything he said up until now, which leaves the impression that the return from Babel was going to be something of a temporary nature, because there are still four kingdoms that are going to rule. It's a long time off. Bechose haya efshariyot, there was the possibility sheyia oz eit hageula. The possibility still existed. In potential, they could have made it the ultimate redemption im hayushavim b'tshuva shleima l'Hashem, if they would have done tshuva. And if they would all have come up en masse. If they would have come up en masse, they could have brought the Geula. We've made the same miserable mistake so many times. You know what he's saying over here? Chatzi ha'aretz lechatzi ha'am. Chatzi Geula lechatzi ha'am. But if they all would have come, that time could have been the Geula. In other words, we always have within our power, we have within our power to make history. We can change history. K'moshe Kosel Chazal, as our rabbis wrote, Re'uyim Hoyu Yisrael Le'asot Lehem Nes, B'mei Ezra, Jews were worthy. It could have been in potential that God would have done for them miracles in the days of Ezra, as he did, the Gemara says, as he did in the days of Yoshua. When Jews now return to Eretz Yisrael, they can return to Eretz Yisrael with the same kind of miracles that they entered Eretz Yisrael in the first place. Ela shegarem achet, the sin caused that it didn't happen. V'chein kama medrashos chazal, there are many medrashos in chazal, hamodim azeh, that teach this. Ube'et nivne habayit, and when they're building the Beit HaMikdash, haya adayin hev sharuyot tolui v'omeid, the possibility was still there in suspension. It was being held in abeyance. There was still the possibility that they can turn this return into an ultimate redemption. Im hayu shavim b'tshuva, if they would have done tshuva, hayu Zerubbabel melech HaMashiach, Zerubbabel, who's going to come up from Babel and be the first governor of Eretz Yisrael, he could have been melech HaMashiach. V'hamigdash hayu machon l'shifto ha'olamim, and the Beis HaMigdash that they built in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah would be the established place for God forever. V'alkein zorach lehem od apam or ha'nevuah. So he explains, therefore, because at this moment there is still the possibility of redemption, so there was a certain burst of light, of prophecy that came to Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Because there is a potential in the world of ultimate redemption. Therefore, Zorach lehem od apam or hanavua, the light of prophecy, al yedei neviim ha'achronim, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, she'omdu be'etahi, they arose at that time, v'hoyu ma'oridim otam al adinyam v'al atshuva. They were the ones who awakened and aroused Israel to build the Beit HaMikdash, to tshuva, the Gilulah and Sodzeh. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi revealed to the Jewish people this secret, Shahadavar Tolu B'yadam. It depends on them. Frightening. On the one hand, it's frightening, and on the other hand, it's exhilarating, the tremendous power that we have. But then it can be another opportunity just missed and lost.
I think the soul
that he's referring to is not our ability to change things. The chiddush of this piece is that can be the moment of ultimate redemption. In other words, ultimate redemption, when could it have happened? Was there another who spoke about ultimate redemption in the days of Yoshua, in the days of David, in the days of Shlomo? There are 1,000 years from the time Torah is given, and that Geula, redemption, can only become operative at a certain moment in history. So the Malbim's position is ultimate geula shlema of v'hoy Hashem l'melech hakol ha'aretz v'yom ha'uya Hashem ha'kodesh shmar ha'chad. All of those great things become operative only at certain moments in history, and then when the moment passes, it may be many centuries before it becomes possible again. That's the secret he's talking about. But that we can do wonders with tshuva, that's sure. But listen, there were many periods of time during the course of the first Beit HaMikdash, the Jews were all shomrei Torah mitzvahs, but the time was not a time of geula shleimah. And since they were not worthy, the second Beit HaMikdash was only a temporary one. And this is, in a sense, where Rabbi Yaakov picks up what he says. It was for a period of time, and it was going to be destroyed by the Romans. There were five things that were missing from the second Beit HaMikdash. As our rabbi said, on the word, this is a word in Haggai, and we're going to see more about it later. What are the five things that were missing? The one who's going to come right after this Daryavesh that we are talking about. In the days of the first Koresh, Nitan Pekidah, there was a remembering. Sheyalu l'eretz, the Jews should go up to Eretz, or v'schilu oz b'binyan abayit, they began the construction of the Beit HaMikdash, v'nishbat, and it was stopped. Ayyidei Tzorei Yehuda u'binyamin adzman Daryavesh, and it was stopped through the oppressors of Yehuda and Binyamin. And this we, all of this we learned in Ezra and Nehemiah, until the time of Daryavesh. Ki lo hoya adayin zman ha'binyan, because the time for the construction of the Beit HaMikdash had not yet come. Would they have been worthy, they could have begun the construction of the Beit HaMikdash earlier. But they're going to have to wait another 18 years until there will be a complete 70 years from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. There are going to be a few different 70s. And this Daniel is going to learn. There's going to be 70 years from the first invasion of Nebuchadnezzar. And that's going to be the time at which Koresh is going to let people return. There will be 70 years from the first waves of exiles. There will be 70 years from the Churban HaBayit. Because it was not yet the time, therefore they lost hope that there would be a construction of the Beit HaMikdash. They did not get a second permission. They didn't get who said that?
I just was going to say those words. A built-in permit. The Nishama can I gain till you get a building permit.
Kilo he Gielhem Nishon Achel is not another permit to build. The Niba Chagai the Shem Hashem. Chagai, this, remember, this piece of the Malbim is his introduction to Sefer Chagai. Chagai is the one who arouses them that they should go out and build. The Niba Chagai the Shem Hashem. Chagai says, prophesying the name of God, Shiatchilu the Binyan, they should start building. Velo Yamtinu Al Rishon. How do you like that? What would the Bagat say about this? They should start building without the permit. Illegal construction in the holy city. Because the time has arrived. Well, it's talking about that Sheva Brachas that we were at. So did I say it there? I don't remember if I said it there. Maybe I did say it. Yeah, oh, the Gemara says, I've said this on a number of occasions, the Gemara says that somebody who participates in the Simcha of Chosen and Kala and does not add to the joy of Chosen and Kala, over Bechamisha Kolot transgresses five sounds. What are the five sounds? Yirmiyahu talks about Kol Soson, the Kol Simcha, Kol Choson, the Kol Kala, Kol Omrum, Hodul Hashem, Tzokos, etc. Ve'im, Misamcho, and if a person does add to the joy of Chosen and Kala, what is the reward? So the Gemara lists a number of rewards, and one of the rewards is that if you participate in the Simcha of Chosen and Kala, it is ki'ilu bona churva achat mechurvot Yerushalayim. It is as though one has rebuilt one of the ruins of Yerushalayim. So I said, if the United Nations and the world would know that every time we dance at a chasana, we are building Yerushalayim, they would condemn weddings. Anyway,
So the words of Haggai are said to Zerubbabel, who's going to be the first governor of Zerubbabel? God, I don't remember now. Is Zerubbabel is from the family of Melech Yehuda? Is it from Yechonio or Tzidkio? I don't remember now. And his name is Zerubbabel. He was planted in Babel. Or Zerubbabel can also mean, Lizrot means to be dispersed. He was dispersed in Babel, and now he has returned. So what he tells him is the following, Ki im hoyu zochim, if they would be worthy, v'hoyu oz ha-gu'ulah ha-mitid, then would have been the real redemption. Hoyu matzniach keren le-beit David, u-Zerubbabel ha-ya ha-Mashiach. Then God would have caused the crown of the house of David to blossom, and Zerubbabel would have been a Mashiach. Rakach shelo zachu, because they were not worthy, shav Zerubbabel le-Babel. Zerubbabel ended up by returning to Babel, who made sure he died there. Va'atid litzmoach tzemach mibonav v'acharit hayamim. That's it. And the end is that there will be somebody from the house of David. So the chiddush of the Malbim is that there are certain moments in history that we have the power to turn them into geula ha'atida, ultimate geula. And what was it at the time of Golus Babel? If they would have done tshuva and they would have gone up en masse, they could have forced the hand of God. Yes. Very good. The shalosh shvuos that came after Churban Bayit Sheni, after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, that's really what the Gemara is referring to when it says that there were three oaths that were administered, that Jews should not go up en masse, that Jews should not rebel against the nations of the world, and there was an oath, so to speak, figuratively speaking, that the nations of the world should not subdue the Jews more than is necessary. Yes? Huh? Here they had permission. Not only they had permission, this was the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu, and furthermore you had the Nevi'im, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who were telling them, go to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beit HaMikdash. Why didn't they go? Why didn't they go? So that was the question that the king of the Khazars asked of Yehuda HaLevi. I'm going to have to give you some of my takes. The king of the Khazars asked that question of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. And Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi's great answer, it mamish rings in my ears, Hovashtani Melech Khuzar, you have embarrassed me, king of the Khazars. That was our terrible mistake. We should have gone up en masse. And because we didn't do it, that's why all of the tzavos that have befallen us are because of that. That's right. And what does Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi go on to say? Shelo yochlu lihipodeid mi mishkinotehem v'inyoneihem. They were not able to leave their homes and their businesses. Can you imagine some? Yes. They weren't being harassed at all. On the contrary, they were living for all intents and purposes, except for, you know, like a Purim period. They had achieved prominence in all areas of Babylonian life. They were living the good life. I mean, there were periods, let's not kid ourselves, there were periods of suffering. And they couldn't do it, so they can't do it now. All they can do is tell us that we don't put on tefillin but kavana, you understand? Yes. Yoshiyahu could have been Mashiach.
But it was not because he didn't think Mashiach.
No, that was Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu, the Gemara says, Ratzakot, the God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach, and Sancherev Gogu Magog, and he didn't say Shira.
Okay, so here,
it was the people's fault. Exactly.
The one was the king.
The one, Chizkiyahu, was the king.
It was the people that were.
Yeah. Exactly. And even when the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu, you understand? That Gemara is really one of the Gemaras upon which the Malbim bases what he's saying over here. Because the beginning, the Malbim said that from the outset of the
exiles that were brought about by Sanherib, king of Ashur, from that moment on and further, the possibility of ultimate redemption began. That was in the days of Chizkiyahu.
Why would we do it before the
By the way, there is the same thing. Do you know that there was a period of time where Jews needed a prophet, and Yirmiyahu was not in Eretz Yisrael, he was out of town, he was out of the country. If you think going to Chutz Laaretz started in our days, I mean, I'm not in the same position, I mean, I don't consider myself Yirmiyahu, but Yirmiyahu also went out of the country, and the Navi says that they went to speak to Huldah HaNeviah. Huldah HaNeviah was the stand-in for Yirmiyahu. Where did Yirmiyahu go to? L'hachazir aseret hashvatim. Yirmiyahu went to Chutz to bring back the aseret hashvatim. And the fact is, according to the Gemara, some of them did return with him, and the overwhelming majority remained in Chutz. But by the Khurb and Habayit, there were representatives of all of the tribes. There were representatives of all the tribes. He went l'hachazir aseret hashvatim. And whether they will ultimately return or not, there's a machloket in the Mishnah at the end of Sanhedrin between Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says they're not going to return, most probably because he means that they are going to be lost and assimilated into the, they will have lost their identity. I don't know, it depends of course what we're going to do. Say Ethiopian Jews, were they from Kurban Abayat or were they from earlier? I'm not sure. Anyway, this Malbim is going to be an important introduction to the second half of chapter 9. The second half of chapter 9, Gavriel is again going to appear to Daniel, and he's going to tell him, you want to know the numbers? You want to know the dates? And he's going to give, that's going to be the second part of this chapter. I trust you to hold on to these sheets. We'll meet the next time around. Chag Sameach, Chag Purim Sameach. And we're off all of next week, and then we'll have another two classes before Pesach.